I encourage you this morning as we consider the gift of God. This will be our final message this Christmas season. I know we're in the new year now, but this is the final message really in this sub-series within our series on stewardship. This is our on the sub-series of stewarding God's gift. We'll be looking at stewarding God's missing gift, and it may seem a bit awkward or challenging to think that way, but if you hang in with me, I trust you'll understand where we're going with that. Just to a quick review this morning, over the past four messages, we've been considering God's gift, the gift of His Son, and how we are to steward this most precious of all gifts. Our challenge has been seek to be a faithful steward of God by stewarding this gift. We've looked so far at stewarding God's merciful gift. It's God's merciful gift. Matthew 1:21, and she, Mary, shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We look to see the value of Christ as a merciful gift. We considered ourselves as great sinners in need of a great Savior. Jesus Christ is that great Savior. What great mercy He showed as He died in our place. We look next at our need to steward God's miraculous gift. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It was miraculous conception. Jesus was conceived miraculously. And that's what the angel came to say to Mary. And Mary responded as the angel announced to her what her stewardship would be. She was to steward this miraculous gift. And notice how she responded in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid, the bondslave of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary humbly responded to this news. She submitted herself to this stewardship. Mary, the handmaid of the Lord, humbled her will to the will of the Father. As a female slave, as a doula, she was responsive to the will of her Master, God. And we need to be responsive. We need to be that. As a woman, you need to be a doula. As a man, be a doulos. Be responsive to the will of your Master as you steward this miraculous gift. We look next at God's magnified gift. We looked in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 11. In verses 10 and 11, it says that the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so, our stewardship is that we are to be faithful with this gift that has been magnified. God has given us this awesome gift, and we must steward it faithfully. Our response is to bow in humility, confessing Him as Lord as we yield our lives to Him and trust Him as the only way of salvation. As a child of God, we need to daily commit to Him, to confessing our sin to Him, to daily humble ourselves before Him, trusting Him with every aspect of our lives. He is magnified. Bow daily before Him. And on Christmas Sunday, we looked at our role of stewarding God's majestic gift. We read the account in the beginning of Luke 2 where the angels come down and announce to the shepherds the King of Kings and Lord of Lords being born this day, at this time. As a steward of this majestic gift, we want to consider God the Father and how He sent this gift. Remember the response of the humble shepherds? Once they heard the heavenly news, they pursued Christ. They praised Christ, and then they proclaimed Christ. As we consider Christ as the majestic gift of God, let us understand the precious, invaluable nature of this gift, and let us bow in humble worship to the gift and to the giver. So with the miraculous gift, we saw Mary humble herself and bow, seeking to be used of God. In the magnified gift, we seek to bow to Jesus Christ and seek to be dependent upon Him daily and humble our will to His will. In this last message, the majestic gift, we seek to bow to the King of Kings, humble ourselves and bow daily in worship, living a life of worship to our God. Now, before we pray again, would you make a commitment with me? Would you commit your heart to the Lord? Whatever He's going to say to you, will you do it? Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, we need Your help today. We need You, Lord, to guide us. Lord, we want to do Your will. We want to obey. We want to respond to You in worship. We want to respond to You with a commitment, Lord, that we will do whatever You say. So as we lift our hearts to You, Lord, we ask that You would minister to each of us right now. Meet us exactly where we need You to meet us. Guide us, encourage us, move in our hearts. Help us. Change us. We need Your help. Lord, help us to set aside the cares of the day. Help us to set aside any distractions. Help us, Lord, to worship You in this service. Help us, Lord, to listen as an act of worship. Help us, Lord, to take from this message truths that we are seeking to obey. Help us to worship You in how we respond to You with this message. Oh, Lord, guide us. Please give me the words to say. Please give me the strength. Help me, Lord. Help me to worship You. Help us all to be in awe of You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A new year is upon us, is it not? Just as a new day is a bit of a do-over from yesterday, the first day of the year can be like that too. A bit of a do-over. It's a great time to reflect upon our lives and evaluate them, considering needed change. To look back on this past year, I trust you can see ways in which God has blessed you and your family. Has God blessed you? Yeah? No? Yeah? Were you awake this morning? Has God blessed you? Yes. Amen. Amen. I trust that you can see how God has drawn you closer to Himself. Have you seen areas of growth in your lives? Yes. Good. I trust that you can look back and see specific moments where you see God's hand guiding you through. Can you look back on this year and see God's hand clearly at work in your life? Can you? Yes. Yes. This shouldn't be something that we're like, yeah, I guess. No, as Christians, we should be like, yes, God has been so good to me. God has grown me. God has taught me things that I never thought I would ever know. God has blessed me. Those memorial stones, as you look back on 2016, this chapter of the book of your life, it should be filled with challenges, with encouragement, with blessing, with rebuke, with conviction, where you've seen God at work, ministering to you. So, with this new year in front of us, what does the Lord have in store for you? What does the Lord have in store for us as a church family in this new year? What is the role that God's calling you to play here in this ministry and in the ministry of your life? How is God going to use you to accomplish His purpose? These are introspective questions. These are questions that we want to look inside ourselves and we want to, Lord, would You help me? Would You help me to really ponder and meditate upon my role in 2017? What is this chapter of my life going to look like? This chapter is a chapter of blank pages. The story has not been written yet. And it's up to you how the story will go. Yes, there's going to be unknowns. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulty. But how are you going to steward this blank chapter? How are you going to steward these pages of your life? Today we consider our stewardship of God's missing gift. This is our pursuit of Christ in this new year. Turn with me, you might be already there, but Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. We've already considered the first 21 verses, and we're jumping to the end of the chapter, but I'd like for you to see this story, the account of Jesus as He goes missing. At least His parents had lost Him. He wasn't missing. God knew where He was at. But to Mary and Joseph, He was missing. Consider with me what we see here in these verses. Starting in verse 41, Luke chapter 2. Now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And Jesus said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. And He went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. It says in verse 52, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I'd like to use this passage here this morning as really an illustration for us. An illustration of how this merciful, miraculous, magnified, and majestic gift can end up missing in our lives. Consider your stewardship of Christ in this new year. At times we can become so busy with life that He becomes the missing gift. Commit to pursuing a year of faithful stewardship of this greatest of all gifts. Paul Chappell wrote these words. He says, Amazingly, many people who receive Christ and who claim to believe that He is all to them soon live life without thinking of Him. He has gone missing to them. And every single one of us, if we're honest, there have been times in our lives where Jesus has been the missing gift. He hasn't been on display as He should be. Why does this happen? How can we keep this from happening? These are two questions that we'll look at this morning. So the first question, why does this gift go missing? Why does this gift go missing? At the bottom of your page, you see a quote, a lengthy quote from Harry Ironside. last century, he was a man of God, greatly used of God. Consider what he stated here. It's never true that the Lord Jesus leaves those whom he has saved by his grace. You agree? Do you agree with this statement? It's never true that having taken anyone up in his loving kindness, he later forsakes them. Is that true? But it is sadly true that Christians may go on taking it for granted that they are in fellowship with him, when in actuality they have drifted away from him in heart. They are not enjoying his presence. They hardly realize their loss. I wonder if there are not some of us here today who have had that experience. I would echo his words. It is so easy to go on in an outward form of religiousness and not really enjoy the presence of Christ. Is it possible to sit at the table of the Lord, communion, and be conducting services for the Lord in ministry, and yet not have the presence of the Lord with us? And it is possible to go on day by day thinking everything is all right, when in reality things are very, very wrong because we are out of touch with Him. He's not saying, when He says that yet not have the presence of the Lord with us, He's not saying that God has left us. He stated that from the very start. God doesn't forsake us. But do we minister? Do we do the work of the ministry as if Jesus is not present? Do you ever go through the process of seeing to do much for Christ, but yet fail to be doing it with Christ? If you're doing much for Christ, Jesus isn't in the process. If you're doing things with Christ, you're doing it in His strength, by His grace, and now He's not missing. If you're doing a lot for Jesus, Jesus is the missing gift. And we're failing in our stewardship. So Christ becomes this missing gift when we lose sight of Him in our daily lives, and in turn live in such a way that He is not on full display in our lives. We're not pursuing Him. We're not. Our goal is not to follow Him, but our goal is to go our own way. So consider with me a couple reasons why Christ becomes the missing gift in our lives. First, because of our preoccupation. The first reason is because of our preoccupation. Consider verses 41 through 43 in Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they fulfilled the days, they returned. As they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. See, Mary and Joseph went up yearly to Jerusalem to observe the feast of Passover. It was a one-day feast. It was a one-day celebration, celebrating the Passover back in Egypt as they came out of Egypt. But immediately following the feast of Passover was the feast, the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. So together, the feast of Passover and the feast of unleavened bread was an eight-day celebration. These 8 days are the days that would have been fulfilled prior to their returning home to Nazareth. In biblical times, as Deuteronomy tells us, Deuteronomy 16 tells us, all Jewish men were required by law to go to three feasts in Jerusalem. And one of those was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In this account in Luke 2, Jesus went missing as Mary and Joseph somehow became caught up in the process of leaving for home. And please understand, I'm using this as an illustration. I'm not casting any negativity toward Mary and Joseph. I'm not laying blame at their feet. I don't know what happened. We just take biblically what it said, that they left without Him, thinking He was with them. Okay? But it's illustrative for us how Jesus can go missing. The gift that we've been given to steward often goes missing if we make assumptions. We can become preoccupied. And so what we see there is that Mary and Joseph left, thinking he was with them. So what happens when we become preoccupied with the busyness of our schedules, our responsibilities? We all have responsibilities. We all have things we are to do. What happens when our focus shifts from to productivity instead of our priorities? Do you notice the difference? Productivity, getting things done. We can do that in the ministry. We can be getting things done for Christ, but forgetting the priority, forgetting to take Jesus with us on the process. Being too preoccupied with the busyness of life, we often lose sight of our stewardship. This is this precious gift goes missing in our lives. We no longer display Christ as we go about our day. Three key priorities suffer when we become too preoccupied with productivity. Three key priorities suffer when we become too preoccupied with productivity. Well, it's easy to become too busy for God. And when we get too busy for God, we can skip time in God's Word. We can also skip time in prayer. And we can skip time with God's people. Now, I want to challenge us that this relates to all of us. You could say with number one, you could switch it around to say just very simply, skipping time with God. You could combine one and two. And what happens at times, we get so busy. If we're in the process, there's times where it's just simply those three at face value. We get just too busy. We're going about our day. We're getting things done on the calendar, our schedule. We're just going. And I forget to pray. I forget to be in the Word of God. And there's times where I have too much going on. I can't even go to church. And there's that side of it as Christians. That happens. It's also the other side of it. Also the other side of it, where we're seeking to do much for Christ and not much with Him. And so when we do get into the Word and we're not spending time with God, we're going through and just, well, I read 15 chapters today. I prayed. And basically what we're doing is I'm checking off things on my schedule still. I read my Bible today. Checked off. What'd you get out of it? Whatever. I prayed. I check it off. So I didn't skip my time in prayer, and I didn't skip my time in the Word, but I skipped my time with God. See how that goes? We become so preoccupied with doing, that we forget that we are called to yield to God. Do you see how that works? It's too easy to get too busy for God. That's the first reason why the gift goes missing. What's the second reason? First, because of our preoccupation. Second is because of our presumptions. The second reason why Christ becomes this missing gift has to do with our presumptions. Notice what it says in our text. Luke chapter 2 and verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. Supposing him to have been in their company. This word supposing carries the idea of assuming something to be true. Mary and Joseph assumed that Jesus was somewhere in the caravan of their friends and relatives traveling back to Nazareth. They made an assumption. Don't we often do the same thing? Don't we often take for granted our God? Don't we at times, because we're preoccupied with life and it's easy to presume, make this assumption? Well, God said He's never going to leave me nor forsake me, so He's always with me. But there's a difference between Him being always with me or and being with me in leading me. He never leaves me. The Holy Spirit indwells me. So yes, He's always with me, but is He leading me? We can be very presumptuous about Christ. They assumed that He was with them, but they assumed incorrectly. How often do we go about our day making presumptions? Think of the things that we make presumptions, we make assumptions about. How often do we go about our day and we simply fail to check to see, we fail to check with God to see if this thing, this activity is according to His will. We make a presumption. Well, we just forget to even ask God, Lord, is this something You want me to do? Right? We just don't even think about it. And we get preoccupied with doing and we presume, well, this must be what God wants me to do. Or we just don't even think about it. It's just, you know, if someone were to say, well, is this what God wants you to do right now? Well, yeah. Well, have you asked Him? No, I shouldn't have to. Well, yes, you should. We should be filled with the Spirit of God moment by moment. Should I talk to this person? Should I not? Should I go and run this errand? Should I not? What should I do? Lord, would You show me? Would You lead me? I know You're leading me. Would You help me to follow You? We presume upon God all the time for a lot of different reasons. We make a lot of assumptions. And the reality is many times our assumptions are wrong. How often do we fail to even acknowledge His presence? How often do we fail to give Him glory when opportunity arises to praise God? The gift is missing. How often do we presume upon Him, taking Him for granted and failing to intentionally be led by Him? Do you realize that is the truth of it all? You don't just naturally follow Jesus. You intentionally have to follow Him. A sheep, if they get distracted by the world, instead of, what does it say in John chapter 10? My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me, right? But what are they doing? They're listening to My Savior as He's leading me. Right? Is listening something that's intentional? Do you have to work at listening? Yeah. Following Jesus is an intentional action. Because it's too easy. Just think figuratively, you think about a lamb, a sheep, as they're following the shepherd, as they're going through when you read through Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do you realize as the shepherd, that Psalm 23 is the process of the shepherd. Basically, it's a year-round process. They take, in many areas of the world, they are actually taking their sheep from the farm where the sheep stay, and they're actually taking them up to the mountaintop. And then they come back down. That's the year. That's what they do for the year. That's what they do outside of the winter time. They're out. They're gone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's happening? The shepherd is leading them through up the valleys of the mountain. The valley of the shadow of death. Those valleys, as they're traversing, going up to the mountaintop, to have those mountaintop experiences. The wild animals are there looking out, and the shepherd's always on guard, watching, to protect His sheep, but He's leading them to the pasture land, that those mountaintop experiences. And He's taking them. What happens if you're one of those sheep as you're coming along and as you're going, we're moseying along and oh, it's starting to get a little bit dark. The shadows of the valley of the shadow of death, it's kind of casting its shadow upon where I'm walking and it seems to get a little bit darker. And oh, I see those little beady eyes looking at me and hey, Lord, oh, and the shepherd's singing away as he's leading me. Right? I get distracted. Like, oh no. Sheep are very timid. Run. Instead of listening to the Savior as He quiets my soul and I just keep my eyes fixed on Him and follow Him, I start looking around. I get scared. And I want to run because I don't like where my Savior's leading me. Sometimes we presume that we know better. Or I see this bush over here that I'm like, wow, I haven't seen one of these before. It looks pretty tasty. And instead of following my Savior, my Shepherd, I get distracted by the cares of this world. Do you see what happens? We are called to follow His lead. He's always leading us, but are we following Him? We often presume upon Him, taking Him for granted. Oh, He's always right there. It's not going to hurt to go over here and be distracted just for a minute. It's okay for me to go do this thing just this one time. He's going to be there when I come back. Jesus is always here. After all, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So He's always here. What can it hurt to go? We presume upon His presence. See what we do? Our preoccupation with our busy schedules is a great temptation to presume upon Christ and in turn He becomes missing in our lives. We can easily rush into our day and later realize that we never checked to see if God was in it or not. Did we even acknowledge His presence or His desires? Christ becomes this missing gift when we lose sight of Him in our daily lives and in turn live in such a way that He is not on full display in our lives. So how can we keep this from happening? How can we faithfully steward this most precious gift we've ever been given? How can we do that? How can we steward this most precious gift in this new year? So it leads us to our next question. How can I keep this gift from going missing? All right. Good question. Let's answer it. What does the Bible say? It comes down to a matter of influence. It comes down to a matter of influence. Influence. If you will, it's influence that leads to perspective. Okay? What are you allowing to influence your life? What are your greatest influences in your life? We pursue what we love, don't we? We sang the hymn this morning, Father, I adore You. Jesus, I adore You. Spirit, I adore You. I love You. Were you lying to God? Do you love Him? See, the reality is we pursue what we love. If your life is consumed by pursuing Christ, it shows that you love Him. Well, Pastor, I got to do my work. I got to go to work every day. But can you still pursue your love for Christ by ministering to others, using that place you work as a ministry? You can still pursue Christ where you work. Can you do that? Can you let your light so shine before men where you work that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Can you do that? Well, see, you can pursue Christ whatever area of secular work God has called you to. We are all called to be in full-time ministry, are we not? Are we not? Is that a big yes, or is that a... Well, if you say so. A big yes. Good. Good. We should, wherever God has called you to be a blacksmith, be the best blacksmith for Christ. God has called you to be handling fish. Be the greatest fish handler for Christ. A bank teller. Working on construction. Whatever God has called you to do, that is the means by which you serve God. Jesus is your employer. Serve Him. And you will serve your human employer in the way that they just can't fathom it. It doesn't make sense. You will serve your earthly employer best when you first serve your heavenly employer first. Comes back to priorities, doesn't it? Comes back to priorities. Our devotion to God is displayed in our obedience to God. How do we show that we love God? John chapter 14, verse 15. What does it say? If you love me, keep my commandments. As Christians, we soon find out how great of a need we have. The Christian life demands far more than we have the ability to give. We have this sin nature within us that seeks to cause us to yield to it every moment. It seeks to cause us to yield, doesn't it? It desires to bring us and cause us to yield to it. Does it cause us to yield? No, it seeks to. I need to point that out here. Because we too easily justify, oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil cannot make you do anything. As a child of God, you've been broken. That power of sin over you is broken. You can't say that any sin, it only tempts you to sin. It doesn't force you to sin. You have a choice, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? So no justification for sin as a child of God. Otherwise, you're saying God's not big enough. And this sin, this temptation is greater than my God. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God's Word. Correct? So how can we manifest Christ-like qualities as we resist the lust of our flesh? How can we go about... This is what we are required to do. We are required to obey God and resist our flesh. Not yield to our flesh, but yield to the Spirit of God. How do we do this? Let's yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's been given to aid us in satisfying the righteous demands of our Savior. The righteous demands. Jesus says, obey me. That's a righteous demand. Show me that you love me by how much you obey me. Obey me with your heart. Not just in action, but with your heart. He's been given to us in order to reproduce in us this Christ-like qualities that He calls for. Consider what it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, top of page 3 for you guys. Jesus responds to a man. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What do you see there? This speaks of our supreme love for God. How on earth are we able to keep from allowing Christ to become the missing gift in our lives? Pursue Him. Be diligent. This is discipleship. Become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Be devoted to Him. Develop your supreme love for God on a daily basis. Be always developing your love for God as you be dependent upon Him more and more. Get into His Word. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. We are to love God with all thy heart exclusively. He is our exclusive love. Where we can give the greatest amount of love, He gets it. Exclusive love. We are to love God with all thy soul, completely, everything, all of who you are. We are to love God with all your mind. And this is the dependency. Love God exclusively. Love God completely. Love God dependently. Be devoted. That's dependent upon Him. Lord, I need you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need you. Help me. Help me. A.D., here's as we consider Matthew 6:33. Turn there if you will. Matthew 6:33. Christ's Sermon on the Mount. He's gone through the process of talking to His audience, specifically His disciples are there, and He's saying, He's gone through the process of talking to them about things that you need, going through this life and all these different things that you need. But He says these words in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That word, seek, literally means to crave or worship. For seek ye first the kingdom of God. Worship, crave, desire, pursue the kingdom of God. You give it such worth, such value that you're worshiping God in your pursuit of God. Seek God first the kingdom of God. All right? Diligently pursue after the things of God in life or of worship. What God desires should be more important. Now turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And if you can, we're going to go Philippians chapter 2 right after it. I want you to see here with me two verses that Paul gives us that are great contrasting verses. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. And the question that I ask you is this: are you a 121 believer or are you a 221 believer? Okay? Are you a 121 believer or a 221 believer? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. What does it say? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, right? That sounds pretty good, right? Maybe not the dying part, but for me to live is Christ. That's my pursuit, is Christ. Well, what does 2:21 say? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. So are you a 1:21 or a 2:21? And before you answer, let me just say this. None of us are 1:21. You may be sometimes. Our pursuit should be 121. That should be my drive, my desire, my pursuit of Christ, is that for me to live is Christ. I desire that. That's what I want in life. But as again we get honest with ourselves, we realize how often we fall into the 221 category. For all seek their own, not the things that are of Jesus Christ. How often do you fall into the 221 Christianity? Think about it. Think about it. See, when we go through the process and get so preoccupied with our schedule and we get presumptive with God, we are in that 221 category. Oh, I'm doing a lot for God. Yes, a lot for Him, nothing with Him. See, I'm leaving God behind as I go to do His work. I need Him to do the work that He's called me to do. I need Him every hour. John 15, for without me, ye can do
nothing.
Nothing. What does nothing mean? In the context there, Jesus is talking about bearing fruit. I cannot bear fruit to the glory of God. I cannot bear an ounce of fruit to the glory of God without depending upon Jesus Christ. And so when I do not depend upon Jesus Christ, I am a 221 believer. Because I'm seeking myself instead of seeking my God. Be a 121. Pursue Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. My goal, my aim, my all is Jesus. That's everything. Jesus is all the world to me. That's my pursuit. That's my goal. I haven't arrived. I fail. I fall in the 221 category. But man, I'm trying. I'm seeking. Lord, help me. I want to be that 121 believer. I want to be faithfully pursuing You day in, day out. Day in, day out. Every day that's called today, I want to live for You. I want to be pursuing my Savior. So that He's not a missing gift. That I pursue Him and steward Him as that majestic gift. He's the King of Kings. He's my all in all. He's magnified in my life. Be honest before God. Let God show you how often we fall into the 221 category so we realize it and we cry out to Him, Lord, I can't. I've been trying to do the 121 believing myself, but I just can't do it. Help me! He says, all right, let's go. God wants to reveal to you how often you fail. Why? Does He like to just... I did it again, man. Foolish. Can't do anything right. Is that our God? Is that our earthly Father? Or is that our Heavenly Father? Is that the way our Heavenly Father works? No, our Heavenly Father loves us and He reminds us, you failed in this area. Why does He do that? To remind us that we aren't big enough. To remind us how much we need Him. To remind us, stop being presumptuous and thinking that you're doing just fine, because you're not. You're not doing just fine as a Christian. You never are doing just fine as a Christian. Oh, great. Thanks, Pastor. That was a great, encouraging message. As soon as I think I'm doing just fine, what do? Or, I got this. Doesn't matter what we do. God never wants us to say, I got this. He wants us to say, Lord, help me. Be dependent upon God. Pursue Christ in this new year. Daily be dependent upon God. Three resolutions for us to make out of this message. Three resolutions to make. Letter A, resolve to spend daily time in the Word of God. Mary and Joseph found Jesus in Jerusalem right where they left Him. They left Him in Jerusalem, they found Him in Jerusalem. So it is with us. We find Him right where we leave Him, don't we? Where's the last time you left Jesus? Think about it. Often is it throughout the week? Did you leave Him here when the sermon was over and you closed your Bible? If you will, you went on with your week. And you closed your Bible and you closed your Bible and your Christianity for the week. He was missing in your life all week long. How about this? The morning you wake up, you do your devotions, you get into the Word and you're just being fed and everything, and then close your Bible. Go on with your day. And you didn't take Him with you. You didn't, if you will, put something in your mind. I'm going to meditate upon this as I go through this day. And you just go through this day and you totally forget to even think about God through the day. Go back and get Him. Go back and get Him. I'd encourage you, never close your Bible. Let it always be an open Word to you. My devotional Bible at home, it stays open. Right where I'm at. Get into the Word. It's always this reminder. My Bible's got to be open in my life. My Bible has to be open in my life. It has to be an open book. So I can just get in and read it, meditate upon it, and then extract from it what I'm going to take with me as I go through the day. Because I'm not walking through the day with this. It's hard to do stuff. It's hard to do stuff with a Bible strapped to you, right? It's hard to do this. As you go through this life, you're going to run into things and get run over. Keep your book open. figuratively realize that God is always speaking? Am I always listening? Don't leave God back where you did your devotions. Don't leave God back in church where you last worked with Him. Right? Otherwise, He's missing to you during the day. Don't let Jesus be missing to you during the day. Resolve to spend daily time in the Word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Word of God is to be abiding in the life of the believer. Let it be abiding. Consider, how does this take place? How is it that I can go through and how do I practically do this resolution? How do I resolve to spend daily time in the Word of God? Is it just simply a commitment that I make? Well, it's got to start there. But how do I do that? How do I implement that resolution? How do I implement that commitment? Well, a couple things. There needs to be intentional saturation. Number one, there needs to be intentional saturation. James chapter 1. Turn there, please. James chapter 1. Verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1. There needs to be intentional saturation. See, you need to be intentional about being in the Word daily. Intentional. You don't, fall into it. It's unnatural. It goes against our nature. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity, that's exceeding measure of naughtiness, of wickedness, and receive with meekness, that receive readily, receive with meekness, humility, a teachable spirit. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding, that's looking carefully at his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. He looks in a mirror and he's looking very carefully at his face in the mirror, his reflection. For he beholdeth himself, he looked very carefully, and then he goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He carefully looked, but then he walks away forgetting what he looked like. But, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the Word, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What do we see here? What do you see here in this verse? We see two things. To look intently. How do we saturate ourselves with the Word of God? You intently look. That word looketh is the word parakoupto. That it's to look with great care. It's the same idea as someone losing a contact on the floor and they're looking very intently to find that contact that's on the floor. Clearing out the room. Don't step on it. I want that. I need that. I need that to see. Well, we should have that life or death mindset when it comes to the Word of God. Get into the Word so I can spiritually see as I walk through this life with the spiritual eyesight of Christ. Be led by Him. Follow His leading. There's also another aspect of it. It's not only just this saturation. It's not only just looking into the Word with great care. But we can look into the Word with great care, see the reflection, but then go our way and forget what manner of man we were. You've got to become a continuer. You not only are a steadfast, you concentrate on the Word, but you got to be one that continues in the Word. You concentrate and continue. You concentrate on the Word of God and then you continue. You do what it says. On our bulletin insert, when you look at the what's my next step, you see it says hearing and doing at the top of the page. Hearing and doing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. Concentrating on the Word of God. Doing. Continuing in the Word of God. Doing what it says. That's why. So we need to be intentional in our saturation. We need to be intentional in our meditation. Psalm 1, verse 2, "But his, the blessed man's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." There needs to be intentional meditation. See, meditation is this. You go through the process and you take the time in the morning and dig into the Word of God. You concentrate, you saturate yourself with the Word of God. You then go out and continue. The only way you can continue in the Word of God is you're meditating upon the Word of God as you go through your life. See that? You saturate yourself with the Word of God. You concentrate on the Word of God, intently looking upon the Word of God, your reflection in the mirror of the Word of God. And when you stand up and leave, you're seeking to put into practice what I'm learning. I'm going to meditate upon these things so that I continue. Intentional. Make a plan. Stick with it. I challenge people all the time. When you do your devotions, a verse, if you do your devotions, don't just read through it and up, done. Check it off. We're good. I did my Christian duty today. No, open the Word. Remember, you're leaving the Word open. Read through it a couple times. Read through. I read the Proverbs of the day. I read a Psalm of the day. Love doing that. I read through the Psalms 2.5 times this year. And I read through the Proverbs 12 times this year. It works great. There's so much wisdom in that. In those two books, and such blessing and encouragement. It's wonderful. Well, as I go through the process, yes, I'm getting to the end of a chapter. But I'm not reading the whole chapter 1, 2, 3 times. I read through the chapter, and a couple verses kind of lift off the page. And what do? Those are the verses that God's leading me to go back and meditate upon, focus in on, concentrate on, saturate myself with those verses. Boom. Boom, boom. And I meditate upon those. I read over them and over them and over them. Why? What am I doing? I'm saturating my mind with the truth of God's Word. Not the whole chapter. You're not going to get the whole chapter. You're going to be frustrated. Oh, I'm not getting anything out of it. Well, go back and get a small piece of it and anchor yourself in it. And get out some 3x5 cards or a piece of paper, whatever the case is, and write it down on that other piece of paper. Then that other piece of paper, take it, fold it up, put it in your pocket, leave your Bible open, go on with your day, you stop at a second, you pull it out. Alright, get it back in your mind. Put it back in your pocket. And keep on going. Stop again, pull that paper out. Someone's going to say, what are you reading? What's that paper? Oh, let me share it with you. Great opportunity to share the truth of God's Word with someone that needs to hear it. You have just put yourself in a position to be used of God in an opportunity that He's going to present to you. To share with them the precious truth that God has laid on your heart that morning in your devotions. How great is that? You want to be a light in this dark world? That is where you start. That's where you start. Be intentional in your meditation. Psalm 119, verse 15, the psalmist there, he commits himself. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. But there also needs to be, number three, there needs to be intentional memorization. Intentional memorization. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God's Word keeps us from sinning. God wants us to hide His Word in our heart. That means meditate upon it. And I know the older we get, we say, oh, I just can't memorize anything. Oh, okay. Just repeat it over and over and over again. Don't think of memorizing anything. Don't think of memorizing. Just think of repeating it. Intentionally repeat it. And guess what? You'll memorize it. That's all it is. That's all it is. How do you know how to come back here every Sunday? How do you know how to get here? How do you know how to get home? Well, you do it enough times. You know the way. How do you remember the address? How do you know your telephone number aside from just your own telephone number? So I think some people, it's so easy with the cell phone. See, we forget what our own telephone number is because, well, I don't call myself. But truth be told, when you repeat something, you get it. You hide it in your heart. Letter B, be resolved to be led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The word walk speaks of one's progress. It's the way in which they conduct themselves. It indicates a habitual practice. Paul uses this word as a command. It is a requirement of the child of God in order to live a life that brings honor to Him. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? You cannot bring glory to God if you are not habitually, intentionally being led by the Spirit of God. You may in a piece here and there. But to live a life that truly honors God is a life that is filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only way we truly honor God. We cannot do it in our own strength. I need to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to be filled by the Spirit of God. I need to be controlled by the Spirit of God so that I can bring Him glory in the way that I live. Not for me. I was created to praise Him. I was created to glorify Him. So be led of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the verse tells us. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, you will not be pleasing yourself. If you walk in the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit, you're being filled by the Spirit, the Spirit is controlling you. And therefore, sin is not going to be what you're known for. You're not going to be pleasing the flesh. You cannot please the flesh and Spirit at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. They go contrary to one another. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Be resolved to be daily in the Word of God. Be resolved to be led by the Spirit of God. Letter C, be resolved to spend weekly time with the people of God. Be resolved to spend weekly time with the people of God. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us do this. It's the believers to be diligent to pay attention to one another. The call is to take continuous action to carefully consider the other's welfare. Let us consider one another. I want to consider you. I want you to consider me. What does that mean? Pay attention. No, I'm serious. Pay attention to each other. Observe other people's lives. And you want so that you can engage them and provoke them to good works. Provoking them, encouraging them, prod them along. Give those nice encouragements. Be a blessing. How do I know how to be a blessing to you if I don't pay attention to how you're living your life? If I don't engage you in conversation and seek to minister to you? How can I know where you need prodded along? Why is it that I at times ask you, hey, let's go to get some... Well, I haven't done it in a while. Going and get some coffee, that's kind of like one of those things that things have changed. But why do I try to get together with you sometimes? Why do we invite you over for dinner? Why do we try to spend time with you? If I don't know how you're doing, if I don't know what's going on in your life, if I don't know these things, how do I know how to pray for you? How do I know how to encourage you, minister to you? How do I know how to do these things? Well, how do I know how to provoke you to good works? All of us are called to be engaged in one another's lives, living faithfully in one another's lives and work with each other, pray for one another, minister to one another, encourage one another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor for preferring one another. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And then we come to Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are commanded to get together, resolve to spend weekly time with the people of God. Your greatest influences in life should be the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God. The reasons we get preoccupied and presumptive in our Christianity and the gift goes missing is because we aren't spending time in the Word of God as we should be, spending time with God in prayer and in His Word. And we are not spending time with the Spirit of God. And we are not spending time with the people of God. We need to be stewarding our relationship with the Spirit of God. Stewarding our relationship with the Word of God. Stewarding your relationship with the people of God. Those should be our greatest influences in life. And if they're not, when I say influence, that means when you get into them, they're having a greater effect on you. Okay? All right? Our greatest influences, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God. If they're not your greatest influences, Jesus will be a missing gift in your life. Period. Resolve to pursue Christ in this new year. Resolve to be in the Word of God. Resolve to be led by the Spirit of God. Resolve to be weekly with the people of God. And watch what God does in you personally and us corporately. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Oh, Lord, help us. We all need your help. We need you, Lord. These things are challenging. Lord, as you speak to our hearts, Lord, there's things you've spoken. Would you help us, Lord, to concentrate on what you're teaching us? Would you help us to be humble and in turn obedient? Guide us, we pray. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.